Hello, my church family. I hope you've had a fabulous week. I know I have. I think one of the things that I'm finding right now is how the days are kind of all running together, and it's hard to know what day is Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I mean, it's not that hard, but you know how that is. And I came across something on Facebook the other day I thought was really funny because it just was hitting me right where I was at the day, that day. It's a little sign that said, "Till further notice, the days of the week will be called this day, that day, the other day, someday, yesterday, today, and the next day." I thought, yeah, don't ask me, was it Wednesday or Thursday or whatever. It's just like it was the other day. But thinking of that, I just want to bring that to our attention. It doesn't matter really what day it is or what day we call it. Every day is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice in it. Amen. So before I get into my message this morning, why don't we pray together? Oh Lord, we just come before you. We thank you. We serve an awesome God. You are awesome. You are beautiful. You are wonderful. You are awe-striking us. Thank you for your great love. Thank you for how you have intervened on our behalf. And Lord, we just want to say that as we come into your word this morning, or whatever time of day we're watching this, that you be lifted up and glorified, for you are worthy. Jesus, you are worthy of all our worship, our adoration, our attention. You're King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are our Savior. You are the one who loves us unconditionally. To your name be the glory and the praise and honor. We pray this now. Amen. Well, the message that's on my heart for this week is I'm just so excited in it. And it's titled, "I Am Not Ashamed of the Gospel of Jesus Christ." And our scripture that we're going to look at, our foundational scripture, comes from Romans 1, 16 and 17. That reads this way. This is from the NIV. "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is a world today where Christians are being mocked and our beliefs are being mocked, but I'm not ashamed because the gospel of Jesus is powerful. And when you look into the words, do word studies, that word gospel, many of us know, means good news, good tidings. And it's actually glad tidings of the kingdom of God. It's glad tidings about the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. And it's about the proclamation of the grace of God being manifest. And again, when we think about the word gospel, the good news, that's where we have to be. Really, that is the call of the church, to go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ. It is not the call of the church to go out and point out people's sin, but we're not going to get there right now. We're not going to look at that right now. We're looking at the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, when we think about good tidings of great joy, I immediately go to the Christmas story, the story of Jesus' birth, where the angels appear to a handful of shepherds, and he says to them, "Good news, I come with good news that will cause great joy for all people." That's in Luke 2. And the whole whole story there is Luke 2, starting at verse 8 and going to verse 18. You see, the shepherds, they were terrified at first. And then they hear these good news and they believed what the angel said. They believed the word of God. And they took off and went to Bethlehem to see what the angels had proclaimed. And there they found baby Jesus and Mary and Joseph. And they were overwhelmed with the goodness of God. And they went out into the streets and they started proclaiming the good news. You see, just like it says in our foundation verse today, it has power. The good news, the gospel, has power. It changed these shepherds' lives. From shepherds who are up off in the hill, out away from everybody, who are now running through the streets declaring the goodness of God, that the Savior had come, the Messiah had come. And again, the angel said it was good news for all people. That includes us. Now, as we move on in our verse, it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God. And that word power means strength and obviously power and ability. It is actually the Greek word dynamis. And that's where we get our word dynamite from. But we know with dynamite, once you blow it up, it has a great explosion, there's nothing left. It doesn't have power again. But that's not the dynamis of God. This is the undiminishing power of God. In other words, it doesn't matter how much power it expels, it never loses or diminishes power. And so that's the gospel of Jesus. It never loses or diminishes power. This power of God we see in the grace of God. We see in the Holy Spirit who indwells us. They're agents of the power of God in our lives. This gospel, this good news, is not just about telling it or hearing it. It is in the person of Jesus Christ. We have good news in the person of Jesus Christ. For it is through Jesus' finished work that we are saved. And you know, you hear myself and Ralph preach these over and over again, but you know what? It is the gospel of Jesus, and I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed to say it over and over again, to remind us, to encourage us, and build us up. It is good news that we have. And I hope good news of Jesus is stirring in your heart right now. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, just stir in the hearts of our listeners right now to just feel your presence and the good news that we have in you. When we think about Jesus, when I think about Jesus, I just see wonderful Savior, beautiful Savior, beautiful Counselor, and the beautiful relationship I have with Jesus. We have salvation and we have a relationship with Jesus. We're not about religion. And when I say that, we know that religion is a pile of do's and don'ts, but relationship, you do things in relationship out of love and out of a desire to bless and please. And I don't mean please to gain anything, but please because you want to just see somebody feel good, feel better, feel well. And we can do that for our Lord, not that he needs to feel better, but that we just want to bless him. We want to recognize what he's done for us. He is a wonderful Savior, and he is desiring a relationship with us, not just us listening and hearing and telling, but because we tell because we've experienced him, the manifest grace of God in our lives. That's back to that, one of the definitions of the gospel there. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation. See, Jesus has brought us salvation. He is our Savior. And again, when we do a word study on that word salvation, you know, I was really surprised because I thought I kind of had an understanding of that word salvation until I looked it up again. And yes, it means deliverance. But here's the thing, it means deliverance from the molestation of your enemies. You know, a lot of us, and more so in the past several years, have we heard about people, again, who have been sexually molested and taken advantage of and that thing. And again, lots of us have experienced other things, like other ways that we've been molested, not necessarily just sexually, but physically abused and all those types of things. And when I read this, I thought, oh, we've also have an enemy who that's his thing. And of course, all those other things that I've just shared about are just the theme of the enemy, right? The theme of the devil. Let's totally mess with people. And anyhow, I think we all know what I'm talking about there. But salvation, he has delivered us from the molestation of the enemy. So now we're in Jesus' camp. We're a part of Jesus' world. We're part of the kingdom of God when we have received and believed on Jesus. And we're out of the devil's camp. And sometimes the sad thing is we sneak out of Jesus' camp and go back into the devil's camp. And then things start happening to us. The molestation starts again. And we find ourselves being beat up. You know, sometimes I think about that in the same sense as the children of Israel. They were in slavery. They were terribly treated by the Egyptians. The Lord leads them out in deliverance through Moses. And they get out in the desert and they start complaining and saying, it was better back in Egypt. They totally forgot what they had been delivered from. And sometimes when we go back into doing the things that are in the world, that's the same with us. We've totally forgotten what Jesus has done for us, our Savior, our Deliverer. And so one of the things that we also get from salvation in Jesus is preservation. He keeps us safe. He defends us. He's our shield. He's our safeguard. And he has redeemed us from all the earthly ills. You know, we're redeemed from all our mistakes. We're redeemed from all our following the enemy and his plans and schemes. We are redeemed from all of that, and it's because of Jesus. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's good news. Amen? And it also means safety. Now, you know, one of the things that working in the school district and with children and teens is one of the things that we know is so important for children is that feeling of security and safety, that knowing that where they are safe from harm and harm's way, that they will be taken care of. And that is exactly what Jesus does for us. He is our safety. In Jeremiah 29:11, the famous grad scripture, I always say, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans not to harm you, but to prosper you and give you a hope and a future." And that's who he is. Jesus has given us safety. He's given us hope. He's given us a future. Great plans he has for us. Prospering us. Good things. Good news. But not to harm us. It also says in Galatians 5:11, it is for freedom's sake that Christ has set us free. You see, we come into the safety. There's also freedom. The enemy doesn't let you be free. He's got you in bondage and captivity, becoming addicted and captivated by the things that bring no prosperity to you. Just steal, kill, and destroy what's going on in your life. We also know from 1 John 4:18 that the perfect love of God casts out all fear. And so as we start experiencing Jesus and the relationship with Jesus and how much he loves us and cares for us, we experience this perfect love that casts out all fears. In fact, if you find yourself fearful about something, just press into Jesus and remember what he's done. He saved you from all these things. No weapon formed against you shall harm you. He's come to prosper you, not to see you fail or go into poverty. He is going to take care of you. And we need to have faith in that and just trust him. It's good news, folks. It's good news. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First the Jew, then the Gentile. Now that word believes. Now, it means to think, to trust, to acknowledge, to entrust to be true. Be persuaded, place confidence in. We are to place our faith, place our confidence in the faithfulness of God, in the faithfulness of Jesus, in the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that faith the size of a mustard seed, that's all you need. You can move a mountain. Faith in this is good news. Faith in Jesus is good news. He's already done it all for us. And has extended an invitation to come. You know what? This invitation is extended to everyone. But sadly, not everyone was going to accept the invitation. In fact, Jesus tells a story in Luke 14:15-23. And he's at a Pharisee's supper where he shares about a banquet that a master has put together, and he sends out the invitations and then sends out his servants to tell them the banquet is ready, so come. And you know what happens? Well, this parable shows us that people are full of excuses as to why they don't want to be with Jesus, or as to why they don't want to come. I just bought land. I just got new animals. I need to give them a tryout. I just got married. All these excuses. All kinds of excuses. And I think some of us live in excuses. We find all kinds of excuses as to why we don't come to the Lord. And you know what? I know that most of us who attend church here at Camrose Community Church have believed and received Jesus' invitation. You are a believer. But perhaps right now there are some of you that are hearing this message and you know that you have not received that invitation, that the invitation is yours, but you haven't accepted it. You see, each of us needs to receive for ourselves Jesus' invitation and respond to it. Or I could say this, perhaps you're someone who did walk with the Lord, at one time. And somehow you found yourself, oh, caught up with that list of excuses, caught up with those who have excuses. So I just want to encourage you right now, why don't you grab hold of that invitation again and come join the family of believers again? Because I'll tell you what, Jesus is going to accept you with open arms, and he's going to take you right back into the family. And you know what? So will we. So will we, the family of God. And for those of you who've never received Jesus, at the end of my message this morning, I'm going to pray with you if that's your heart desire. And again, I'm going to ask Holy Spirit, just work in those hearts right now. Bring yourself, bring them into your presence. Help them recognize that you're right there, drawing them unto Jesus. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation for all believers, all who will believe. That is good news, and the good news keeps on coming. You see, it goes on in Romans 1:17 to say this, for in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. For it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. When we look at this part of scripture, I want you to look at what it's not saying, actually. It doesn't say a righteousness is revealed from law to law, from works to works, or good deeds to good deeds. It is revealed from faith to faith. That is just trusting in what the Lord has done. Just saying, seeking him and saying, if you're real, show yourself to me. And for those of us who do know him, saying, Lord, I love what you're doing. Keep doing it. Help me to keep sharing this good news. This is placing your confidence in what Jesus has done. That's your faith. Placing your confidence in what Jesus has done. That's your believing. This is saying you receive this righteousness of God, this right standing with God by his grace, his ability, his power, through your faith in him. It's simple in the sense of, I don't know how it all is supposed to look out, but I'm not going to trust all my understanding. I'm just going to trust you, God, in my heart. I'm going to trust what you have to say. Ephesians 2, verses 8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. In other words, not from your good works. It's a gift of God. Not by works, so no one can boast. It is a free gift. A gift has to be free in order for it to be a gift. And he stretches out this gift of his righteousness, his grace to you, and says, come, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. So looking at this, looking at what this says, we need to understand that sin would not stop the power of God for salvation in your life. But when you start or continue to trust in your own good works and thinking that they will get you right standing with God, that's trusting in yourself for salvation, and it won't get you there. And honestly, I don't know why anybody would want to trust in their own good works anyway, because if you're at all like me, some days they're good and some days they're not. Some days they're there and some days they're not. And so I would be constantly losing my salvation if I had to trust me. But I don't. I trust in Jesus. He is my Savior. He has brought me salvation by his finished work, his perfect life, his finished work. And we can just rejoice in that. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's good news of God. It's good news of Jesus. It's good news of the Holy Spirit. And nothing but good news for each one of us who choose to believe in him. Again, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God to bring salvation to everyone who believes. I want to read to you from Romans 8:31-39. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charges against those who God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life and is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to the slaughter. No, in all this, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angel nor demon, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Right there, the very judge, Jesus, who judges the living and the dead, is he going to accuse the believer? Those who trust in him? Absolutely not. He will judge us fairly. And I just, again, think, wow, that's such good news. We are called to proclaim this good news. Proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are not called to convict people of their sins. We're going to leave that to the Holy Spirit. He does such a good job. He does it with such love. And they will experience freedom from him. Each of us is called to share the gospel, this good news, just like those shepherds did, that were so convinced of how great this new Messiah was, so overwhelmed with the power of God in the sense of the good news, a Messiah has come. And we know this Messiah personally, and his name is Jesus. We can have this amazing relationship with the Lord. And I hope that you are convinced and that you just can't hold back the good news that you know in Jesus Christ, because your relationship with him is so sweet, so wonderful, so dear, that you just can't help but share it. It just overflows. You know, it is so wonderful when you just trust in God, because he so loves us. He so loves you. He loves you with his whole heart, with his whole being, and with everything he has, including his very own son, Jesus, he was willing to give up for you. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. I want to pray for those of you who have never received Jesus, never received that invitation, accepted it. And it's a really simple prayer. So if it works for you to close your eyes or bow your head, whatever you need to do, I'm going to close my eyes. I just want to focus on the Lord. Lord Jesus, right now, I invite you into my heart and my life. I thank you, Lord, that you have forgiven me for all my sins, all the mistakes that I've made. Lord, I ask you that you bring me into the family of God. Bring me into your camp. Set me free from all the things that have been holding me back. I ask this now in your precious name. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer, you're now part of the family of God. And it does mean a step of faith to just recognize that. And if that's what you did, would you just let us know in the comments? We'll continue to pray for you. If you want us to contact you, we'll contact you and can give you some more information and just talk with you. We want to encourage you in your faith and in your choice to follow Jesus, because it's good news, folks. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God. Amen. See you later.